When exactly does the prohibition of performing a service outside of the Beis HaMikdash apply, together with the punishment of Kores being cut off, so to speak, from Hashem if one did it intentionally, or if one performed the service outside the Beis HaMikdash unintentionally, for example, he didn't realize that it was forbidden, then he would be liable to bring a Korban Chatos, just like every time somebody violates a prohibition which is punishable by Kores, by mistake. Horeveya, an animal which commits bestiality, attempts to have relations with a human being, Vahanirba, or an animal who was the victim of bestiality, that a human being attempted to have relations with the animal, Vahamukta, and an animal which was set aside and designated to be brought as a sacrifice for Avodah Zarah, for idolatry, Vahanevod, an animal which was worshipped itself as an idol, Vahesnan, something which was given to an immoral woman in return for relations with her, Vahamechir, something which was received in exchange for a dog. The Torah explicitly says that one is not able to use an animal which he received by exchanging a dog for it as a korban, Vahakilayim, an animal which was born as the result of a crossbreed of two different types of animals, Vahatrefa, an animal which has an internal wound, which means that it is forbidden to eat it or to bring it as a korban. The Yotze Dofen, an animal which was born via a caesarean, it wasn't a natural birth. All of these cases, if one performed the services of a korban with any of these animals, Sheikhirun Bachutz, if you offer them up outside of the Beis HaMikdash's courtyard, potter, he will be exempt. He would not have violated the prohibition. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, that the punishment and the prohibition which we are talking about is due to the fact that the person who did that service didn't bring the korban lifnei mishkan Hashem, in front of the Mishkan of Hashem, which is equivalent to the Beis HaMikdash. That was the equivalent which they had, which the Jewish people had in the desert. And we see from this pasuk that kol she'enu roi lifnei Mishkan Hashem, anything which is not fit to be brought in front of the Mishkan of Hashem, it's not a fitting korban, it would be an invalid korban. In Chayavna Lov, one would not be liable if he offered that up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And all of these are examples of korbanos which are intrinsically invalid from the beginning. Unlike other cases we've discussed in the previous perek, where the korban became invalidated, but it's not intrinsically invalid from the start, and then in such a case one would be liable if he offered it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Bali Mumin, an animal which has a wound, a blemish, which invalidates it from being bought as a korban, Bein Bali Mumin Kavuim, whether it be an animal which has a fixed wound, Bein Bali Mumin Ovrim, or whether it's an animal which has a temporary wound, and once that wound is healed, then it would be one would be able to bring that animal as a korban. However, since right now, either way, the animal has a wound, and therefore it's invalid as a korban, Shekirun Bachutz, if one offered that up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, potter, he would be exempt, since it's not a valid korban. Rabbi Shimon says, if it's an animal which has a fixed wound, then I agree, potter, you would be exempt. That's certainly a totally invalid korban, and therefore one would not have a liability if he offered it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. However, Valimuin Ovrin, an animal which has a temporary wound, such that once it will be healed, it would be a valid korban. Ovrin Beloisase, one would violate a negative prohibition. It is forbidden to offer this up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The prohibition does apply. However, it's a different prohibition. It's not a regular prohibition of offering something outside of the Beis HaMikdash, for which the punishment is Kores, or to bring a korban chatos. Rather, here there is a unique prohibition which does not carry with it those punishments. And we'll explain at the end of the Mishnah what exactly Rabbi Shimon's reasoning is. But first, the Mishnah brings an additional example of where Rabbi Shimon's understanding plays out. Toirim shelo igiyaz manon, a type of dove, a tor, which has not yet reached the age where it is fit and valid to be brought as a korban, uvnei yoinosh ovaz manon, or bnei yoino, which is another type of dove, which is now too old, it's past the age where it's valid as a korban. Toirim are only valid when the doves are older, whereas bnei yoino are only valid when the doves are younger. In both of these cases, the animal right now is not fit to be brought as a korban. It does not fit within the age category where it is would be valid. And because of that, Shekirun Bachutz, if somebody offered it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash as a korban, potter, he would be exempt. However, Rabbi Shimon says, Bnei Yonosh Ovar Zmanon, if he offered up a sacrifice, a korban of Bnei Yonah, which are too old, they've passed the age of being valid, then potter, he would be exempt. However, the Serim Shalogi Zmanon, if he offered up Torim, that type of dove, which has not yet reached the age where it would be valid, Beloisa said one would violate a negative prohibition in that case. He wouldn't be liable to the punishments, but he would violate a negative prohibition of performing services outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And this is similar to the first case of the Mishnah, where this korban might be valid in the future. Right now it's not valid, but it could potentially become valid later on. And in cases like that, Rabbi Shimon introduces this new idea of having a prohibition without the regular punishments. And the Mishnah gives an additional two examples. Oisav es benoi. If one slaughtered an animal and its child, it is forbidden, the Torah says, to slaughter an animal and that animal's child on the same day. And because of that, that applies also for a korban. So if somebody already slaughtered a particular animal, if he wants to come and use that animal's child as a korban, he's not able to do that day. So on that day, the animal's child or the animal's parent would be an invalid korban. However, in the future, the next day, it will be a valid korban. And another example which the Mishnah gives is Mechusar Zman, somebody who is waiting, he's lacking the time. The one is waiting for his korban to become valid. He's waiting for him to be able to bring his korban. And the next Mishnah will explain what exactly this case is talking about. But as it may, this is another case where right now the korban is invalid, but if you wait a bit, then the korban may well become valid. So once again, according to the Tanakhama, Potter would be exempt. Rabbi Shimon says, he would violate a negative prohibition without the punishment. Shahar Rabbi Shimon Omer, because Rabbi Shimon would say, Kol shu roi lovi l'achar zman, any animal which would be valid to be bought as a korban after a certain amount of time. He would violate a negative prohibition, vein b'koreis, however he would not be liable to the punishment of koreis. And at the same time, if he did it by mistake, he would not need to bring a korban chatos. Now the reason for Reb Shimon, the Gemara explains, is that he learns it from a posuk that says that when the Jewish people reach Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yeshua, we're going to learn in the continuation of this perek that there were certain periods of our history where it was permitted to have a mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash and to offer up korbanos over there. And when the Jewish people first entered Eretz Yisrael, that was permitted. However, it is learned from Sukkim that the only type of korbanos which were permitted on those altars, those mizbeaches which were outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or outside of the equivalent, the Mishkan, was voluntary korbanos. Any korban which one is obligated to bring can only be brought on the mizbeach in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash. And according to Rabbi Shimon, during this period of time, from when the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael until they reached Shiloh, and they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh, one was not able to bring any obligatory korbanos at all, only voluntary korbanos. And Rabbi Shimon learns from the Pasuk that the Pasuk says a prohibition not to offer up those obligatory korbanos during that time. Now, if you think about it, since those obligatory korbanos would become valid in the future as soon as they reach the place called Shiloh, as soon as they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh, so those korbanos have the status of something which right now it's not valid, but it will become valid in the future. And the Torah is prohibiting that, and therefore Rabbi Shimon learns from there that any korban which in the future will become valid, even if right now it is not valid, that is enough to prohibit the offering up of that korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Chachom Omrim, the Chachom say that we don't agree with you, and Kol She'en B'Koreis En B'Leisas, any time a service or offering up of a korban does not include the punishment of Koreis, there is also no prohibition. The Chachom do not agree with this new idea which Rabbi Shimon introduced. Mishnah Gimel, the previous Mishnah listed one of the examples of a korban which right now is not valid, but in the future will become valid as Mechusar Zman, something which is lacking time. What does that mean? Says the Mishnah, Bein B'Gufay, whether the body itself, the korban itself, is lacking time, meaning it hasn't reached the minimum age for it to be a valid korban, Bein B'Bailov, or whether the owner of that korban, the one bringing it, has not yet reached the stage where he is obligated to bring the korban. Ezom Chusas Mama Bailov, what is an example of where the person bringing the korban is not yet reached the stage where he can bring that korban? We're talking about where he has got some sort of obligation to bring the korban, but not yet. Where would we find such a case? The Mishnah says, Hazov, a man who is Tomei as a result of certain substances exiting his body. The Hazova, a woman who is Tomei as a result of seeing blood under certain conditions. These two people are Tomei for 7 days, and on the 8th day, after they've gone through a certain purification process, they've been to the mikveh, a body of water, to purify themselves, and then on the 8th day, the following day, they are obligated to bring a korban. But before they've reached the 8th day, then if they bring their carbon, which they're obligated to bring, but too early, let's say on the fourth day of their purification process, if they offer that carbon outside of the sanctuary, they'll be exempt because that's a totally invalid carbon because it's not yet an obligation. The Yoledes, a woman who has given birth, she also goes through a certain period of being Tomei. The length of the period depends if she gave birth to a boy or a girl. So, Biazmei, at the end of that period, she is obligated to bring a carbon. But before that period has ended, she would be considered a Mechusar Zman. Or her carbon would be considered a Mechusar Zman as a result of her Metzora. Or a person who got Tzara'as, certain spots on his body which make him Tomei. And once again, he needs to go through a purification process, and at the end of that process, bring a carbon. So if any of these people, Sheikrivu Chatosim Vashomim Bachutz, they offered up their carbon chatos, or in the case of a Metzora, his carbon Oshom as well. Bachutz, outside of the Beis HaMikdosh, they offered it up before they reached the time where they were actually obligated to bring it, Peturin, they would be exempt. However, Oilei Sehen V'Shalmeihen Bachutz, if they bring their carbon Oila or their carbon Shalomim outside of the Beis HaMikdosh, the truth is these four people we mentioned, they are obligated to bring carbon Oila as well, they're not obligated to bring a carbon Shalomim. The Mishnah adds in carbon Shalomim for a different case which the Mishnah over here is not discussing, and that is regarding a carbon Shalomim of a Nozir. A Nozir is somebody who accepts upon himself certain prohibitions like not cutting his hair, not drinking wine, not becoming impure. And at the end of his period of Nazirus, which he accepted upon himself, he is obligated to bring a number of Karbonis, one of which is a Karbon Shalomim. So if he brought that Karbon Shalomim before the end of his Nazirus, that would come under the same category in this Mishnah. Be as it may, even though the Karbon Oila and Karbon Shalomim are not yet obligations, they haven't reached the stage where they are obligated to bring that. Nevertheless, if one offered that up outside of the Beis HaMikdash Chayovin, they would be liable, the reason being that although these karbonos would not work to fulfill their obligation, since a carbon oil and carbon shalomim can be bought voluntarily, so these karbonos would be considered valid as voluntary offerings if one were to bring them in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, if you offer it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it would give you a liability. This is unlike a carbon chatos or a carbon ashram, which can never be bought voluntarily. And therefore, if you are not yet obligated in those karbonis, it's totally invalid and you would not be liable if you offered it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah is now going to add a list of services done which are totally invalid services in the Beis HaMikdash because you're performing a service, you're offering up on the Mizbeach something which is not belonging on the Beis HaMikdash at all. For example, Amalim Sachatos, one who offers up on a Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, part of the meat of a Korban Chatos. Mibsar Oshom, or from the meat of a Korban Oshom, Mibsar Kodshei Kodshim, the meat of Korbonos in the category of higher level Korbonos, Mibsar Kodshim Kalim, or the meat of Korbonos which have a lower degree of holiness. The meat of all of these Korbonos is supposed to be eaten, either by the Kohanim or by the person bringing it, but it's not supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. That's not considered to be a service. Umoisar Ha'omer, or the remaining part of the flour. When one brings a korban mincha, an offering of flour, they would take a handful of the flour, burn that on the Mizbeach, but the rest of the flour is given to the Kohanim. So if one burns the rest of the flour on the Mizbeach, that is not considered to be a valid service at all. Shtei Alechem, the two loaves of bread which are brought on Shavuos, they are given to the Kohanim to eat. They're not burnt on the Mizbeach. Alechem Aponim, the 12 loaves of bread which are replaced on the Shulchan, the stacked table in the Beis HaMikdash, these were given to the Kohanim to eat. They weren't burnt on the Mizbeach. Ushroi Menachos, the remaining part of the flour of a regular Korban Mincha. Before we discussed the Korban Omer, I may have made a mistake there. We didn't talk about Korban Mincha, we talked about Korban Omer, which is a particular Korban bought on the second day of Pesach. And once again, we would take a handful of the flour and the rest of it was given to the Kohanim to eat. Over here, the Mishnah is talking about a regular Korban of flour, which again involves just taking a handful, so the rest of the flour is not supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and therefore if somebody burnt it on the Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, he would be exempt. The Mishnah now gives another list of services which occur in the middle of a particular procedure of bringing a korban. Now it's learned from Pesukim that one is only liable for performing a service outside of the Beis HaMikdash if that service is the completion of a particular procedure in the korbanos. And therefore, Hayotzik, one who pours oil onto the flour of a Korban Mincha, an offering of flour, Habilel, one who mixes the oil with the flour, Hapeses, one who folds and breaks the flour which has been baked into a loaf of bread, one who folds and breaks it into pieces, which is another part of the service. Again, it's just another additional part in the middle of the procedure, but not at the completion of that procedure. Hamoleach, one who adds salt to any part of a korban which is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Hamenif, one who waves certain parts of different karbonos, he waves them in different directions. That's another service which is done before, as part of the procedure of bringing the carbon. Hamagish, one who performs hagosha, he brings the carbon mincha nearer towards the mizbeach. Hamasadis haShulchan, one who sets up the loaves of bread on the shulchan, the stacked table. Hamidvei haNeros, one who prepares the lamps of the menorah to be lit. VaKoimetz, and one who takes the handful of flour from a korban mincha, a sacrifice of flour. VaHamakabel Domim, one who receives the blood of a korban in a utensil. BaChutz, he performs any of these services outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Potter, he is exempt, because one is only liable for doing the completing part of the process. For example, the actual offering up and burning of the korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And likewise, it is learned from Psukim that Ein Chayavin Olav L'Mishum Zoros, for any of these services, one is not liable to the punishment of death by the hands of Hashem. If he is not a Kohen and he performs any of these services, it's prohibited if you're not a Kohen, but that punishment would not apply to any of these services. V'Lomishum Tumah, nor would one receive the punishment of death by the hands of Hashem if he performed these services whilst Tomei, V'Lomishum Mukhusar Begodim, or if he performed any of these services without wearing all of the necessary items of clothing which a Kohen needs to wear when he performs the service. V'Lomishum Mukhusar Raglayim, and nor would he receive the punishment for not washing his hands and feet from the kiyur, which was this big tap in the Beis HaMikdash which they would use to wash their hands and feet before performing a service. In general, the punishment for not doing that would be death by the hands of Hashem. However, that does not apply to any of these services which are not the completing part of the particular process being performed. Mishnah Dalet, the rest of the Perek discusses different points during our history where it was actually permitted to bring certain korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. One was able to build for himself his own private mizbeach and bring korbanos there. However, even when this was permitted, it was only permitted to bring voluntary korbanos on his own mizbeach. But a korban which one is obligated to bring, he is obligated to bring on the main mizbeach, which stood either in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan, which was more mobile until they actually built the building of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Actually, Hukam HaMishkan, says the Mishnah, until the Mishkan was set up in the Midbar in the desert, in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hoya Bomis Mutarais, it was permitted to offer karbonos on private mizbeches, on private altars, the Avodo B'Bechiras, and the main service, which would later be performed in the Beis HaMikdash, was considered given over to the firstborns. Although there didn't exist a Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, when the Torah was given, the Torah talks about how certain people went to offer up korbanos, and this Mishnah's understanding that those people who offered up the korbanos at that time were the firstborn children, the firstborn sons, as opposed to the tribe of Levi, which would later become those who would perform the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Hukam HaMishkan, once the Mishkan was set up in the desert, Nes Rabomos, it became forbidden to offer up any korban on a private mizbeach outside of the Mishkan. And Avodah B'Kohanim, the service was given over to the Kohanim for them to perform in the Mishkan. Kodshei Kodshim Ne'acholim Lifnei Hakolayim, any korban which is part of the category of korbanos which have a higher degree of holiness, if one brings that, then it needs to be, the meat needs to be eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan. That's equivalent to within the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And Kodshim Kalim, the korbanos which have a lower level of holiness, B'chol Machane Yisrael, could be eaten in the entire camp of the Jewish people. They were encamped in a particular formation, and the korbanos had to be eaten within their camp and not outside. That's equivalent to the law that one needs to eat korbanos within Yerushalayim. Until they set up the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, the law was that the meat of these korbanos had to be eaten within the camp of the Jewish people. Mishnah Hey, Bola Gilgal. Once the Jewish people came to Gilgal, which was the first place that they set up the Mishkan once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishkan was in Gilgal for 14 years, during that time it's learned from Psukim that Hutra Bomais, private altars, Mizbechis, were permitted for one to bring voluntary korbanos there. And regarding obligatory korbanos, which had to be offered up on the Mizbeach inside the Mishkan, so Kodshei Kodshim, the korbanos which have a higher level of holiness, they're Cholim Fnei Makloim, they had to be eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan. By male Koyanim, that's equivalent to within the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And Kodshim Kalim, korbanos which have a slightly lower level of holiness, B'chol Mokoim, they could be eaten anywhere, because during this time where the Mishkan was in Gilgal, that was when they were conquering Eretz Israel. There didn't exist any formation of the camp of the Jewish people. Everybody was spread out, and therefore one would be able to eat korbanos anywhere.